When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of our post-Halloween fallback edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now you can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country or around the world if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Now, it's a sunny day out here in the Pacific Northwest. I had a nice drive into the studio, although it was too hazy and foggy to see Mount Rainier, and then get over here to the Factoria area and all socked in with fog. But it is starting to lift. And a little bit of blue sky. And speaking of blue sky, across the desk from me, well, actually, he looks more like that Peanuts guy again. Your hair's getting long. That would be Animal World production engineer Gary Hale. Good morning, Gary.
Yeah, I'm about due.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you get that thing sticking up
there.
So you look at yourself in the reflection. There you go.
How's that?
Oh, see, now you got it all smoothed out.
Yeah.
Just have just a little thing.
There. Yeah.
But you can't see that,
nothing
only I can.
Yeah.
All right. So, you doing well today?
Yeah.
You survived Halloween?
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. Extra nights, extra hour of sleep, too. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, because I remembered the fall back. You remembered the fall back.
Yes.
And I believe that, I'm delighted to say that Zandi Gaston, Animal World co-producer and call screener, is back in the saddle again. Although, we're not sure for how long. And we hope that... you are feeling much better soon, and so Sandy's just going to say hi, and we don't know how long she's going to last because her back is bothering her big time again.
Yeah, it is.
So we'll say some special prayers and ask for special healing
that you
feel better real soon. And it's certainly good to hear your voice on the air and know that you're here, but if you need to run off, we understand that too.
Well, I appreciate that, but I felt like I needed to come in because, I mean, it's a
Vet Sunday. Yeah.
And that's one person that did not remember that it was fall back.
I talked to Dr. Al yesterday afternoon, later in the afternoon, maybe even early evening. Anyway, it was pretty late in the day. We always have a pre-show talk. Remember to turn back your clocks, Al. Oh, yep, I remember. So we just got a phone call in the studio a few minutes ago, Gear. That phone call was Dr. Al. I said, well, are you guys going to call me or what?
Nice.
It's like we aren't even on the air yet, Al.
That is funny.
So, well, I set my clocks back. I must have screwed it up. Apparently you did.
Yeah.
So anyway, if any of you, the rest of you out there that were wondering where the heck are we, well, we're here. It's just... And it's going to be strange all day because our clocks have not been turned back.
I know,
so
I
it says 10 o'clock
too.
Here, so that's going to throw them. I'm going to think that we're all off. And oh, well. So let's just, that gives us a free day. If we mess up the detail, it's live
fault.
Radio, it's not our fault, it's the clock's fault.
Right.
Clocks are weird, right?
Yeah,
cool.
Exactly.
All right. We can just goof off. All right, speaking of that, what are we going to do today? Well, you know it's Vet Sunday, and we will begin that after the bottom of the hour. We have got some follow-up news, some good news. 10 o'clock, fall into winter tip for your animal friends, 10:50, current events as usual, and we will have a new Pet of the Week from King County Animal Care and Control. They're still there, still have a Pet of the Week for us, and we'll find out from Nancy Are they, well, they were supposed to be moved by tomorrow, or out of business by tomorrow. I saw it on the news last night, on one channel's news, that they had closed their doors and they were done and moved. But I know from, at least from the communication I received from Nancy yesterday, I don't think that's the case. So we'll find out what's really going on. That'll be towards the end of the second hour. And, well, I tell you what, we do have some books to give away, but I think maybe, Sandy, would it be better if we just postpone until next week?
I think so.
Yeah, because I don't want to make you do extra duty. So we'll say the Animal World Prize Closet will stay closed until next week.
You know, I didn't even bring my briefcase today, so I had to have Gary let me in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a good thing he was here.
Well, I'm not supposed to carry anything too heavy, so I
right.
just, you know.
Well, and I have your New Spirit Journal papers, too, in my car, and something said don't bring them in, so
yeah.
I didn't. Because that's because you shouldn't carry them.
Nope, you're right.
Oh, well. Hopefully that will not be the case for long. Anyway, I got to tell you guys, I enjoyed what I believe would be my last hordes of little ghosts and goblins Halloween trick-or-treating last evening in my neighborhood in Seattle because my house is sold. Woohoo! I have my new place. I'm not sure when I'll be moving, but I'm going back out to the country, and I don't know, in the 13-plus years I was out at the farm, I never saw a trick-or-treater, let alone had one come to my door. So I don't think I'll have trick-or-treaters again. But I did, you know, every year, I've told you this last 7 years that I've been living, you know, in Laurelhurst when I was taking care of my dad and so forth, that we had tons of trick-or-treaters. I bought tons of candy. Went through, and the only reason I have any left is because I saved a little bit for me. Had to shut her down, or I'd have been totally out. I've told you every year, I think they truck them in.
That's right.
I now have evidence.
You live in a good neighborhood, though. Lots of sidewalks and
well, and houses close, you know, relatively close together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And a well-to-do neighborhood. Yeah. So we give out the good stuff. Anyway, a bunch of kids. And one group I asked at the door, so where y'all come from? Oh, we're from Mercer Island.
Oh, my God.
You're kidding. I think maybe that there was like a party in the area maybe, and they all came over to the party, and then they went trick-or-treating. But then as the evening went by, especially when it got later, there were trick-or-treaters much later last night than I remember before, because they were still coming after 9 o'clock. But I actually saw the cars roll into the neighborhood, and then there'd be this group, this huge group of parents and kids that goes all up the block, down the block, and then these cars swoop in, kind of like bats. You know, they come in, and two or three of them, and my house is kind of in an area where they can all kind of congeal out there in the street, because there's two streets come together, and that, you know, the kids would all pile into different cars, and zoom, off they'd go. And I saw like two or three groups like that. And I wasn't, so anyway, they truck them in. Anyway, I had a great time. Oh, and I got to tell you, I had the most fun with my cats because this last 7 years, I've just kept them, you know, shut them downstairs so I didn't have to pay attention because I opened the mm-hmm. screen door so I can do with the kids and I didn't have to want to deal with my Abyssinians darting out the door. And this year was the first year that I actually allowed them to be present for the Halloween thing. And Scooty and G-Man, of course, are quite social and, of course, came to the door right away. Fortunately, Scooty doesn't do kids. So when he figured out, oh, this is all about kids coming to the front, he said, oh, no, I'm done. So Scoots went back downstairs to bed, so he was done. But G-Man is my little Mr. Social guy. You know, the bump and rub and love bites and just absolutely can't love people or animals or anything enough. He loves everything and everybody. So, of course, he's right there at the door, and then he wants to go out on the porch to meet all the kids. So I brought him back, and I had a little, you know, telepathic, empathetic communication with him. And I said, G-Man, you know, you're just doing a great job, but it's really important that you stay inside the house, because all cats stay in the house on Halloween to be safe. So if you want to stay up here and meet the kids, you have to stay in the house. I swear, that little darling, he was so cute. The door, they'd knock the door, I'd go to the door, open the door. He'd go right to the threshold, and he'd stand on the threshold, and he'd bump his shoulder into the door so he actually didn't step off the threshold. And then he'd just wiggle his little tail and his big eyes at these kids. And then when the kids, if a kid bent down and acknowledged him and pet him, oh, Abyssinian heaven. You know, and he's motoring and bumping and rubbing, and the kids are giggling and all of that. For the rest of the evening, he greeted, you know, came to the door every time, but did not step over that threshold. What a good cat. Oh, my kids. All right, so that's my Halloween stuff. Okay. Does anybody else have anything to add? No, well, no, you served me a picture of your darling little daughter.
Yeah, Finley went as a doctor.
Finley went as a doctor. She's too cute.
Yeah.
She, oh, did you get to see the picture? I don't know. Did you show the picture to Santa?
Okay. Doctor of what, Gary?
That's,
well, her t-shirt says, trust me, I'm a doctor.
Yeah.
She had a stethoscope on.
Some weird glasses. Yeah,
yeah, weird glasses.
Oh,
she just
cute.
Looks too cute. She's getting tall.
Yeah, she is
Isn't
tall.
She, is she tall for her age? Huh?
Yes.
I think
she's
so.
Always been off the charts, although we haven't taken her in recently, so I'm not sure if she still is or not.
Well, right. Mary and Gary are tallish. I mean, you guys aren't extremely
Gary
tall.
Gary isn't like, no, he's not great.
They're
How tall are you, Gary?
Everybody's
Six
taller
foot.
Than me.
Well, that's tall.
Yeah, he's tall. Mary's no midget.
I guess I don't think of you as tall because you're always sitting and we're eyeball to eyeball, so...
Right.
Like you're the same height
actually,
as I am.
I keep my chair low, so you're
so
oftentimes taller
I'm
than
I'm taller than you are.
Yeah.
No wonder I didn't think of you as tall. All right.
Yeah, it was fun. She enjoyed passing out candy, too. Every time there'd be a knock at the door, she'd
run,
scamper up, and then just sprint to the door. It was quite fun.
All right. Well, all right. We all had a good time. Hope everybody kept their animal friends in and safe.
Yeah.
I was impressed that the only dogs out there were dogs being supervised by responsible adults and on leash, and that's as it should be. So, Annie Golden opted out after the first few kids came, and G-Man took over at the door. So I think she decided that everything was okay because the cat was in charge.
There you go.
All right. We have some news to get to, animals in the news this week, and then good news, and then it'll be time to start Vet Sunday. And by the way, it is Vet Sunday today. Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program, and the Human Compendium on the same subject. He will be with us. We'll have open phone lines, and we would love to hear from you with your animal and or human medical care questions. And in the meantime, there's news about wolves in this week, but because Al and I had a disturbing conversation yesterday about wolves and what's going on in Idaho, I'm going to save that for when we get him on the air, so we'll talk about the wolf situation. But an article in Friday's Times had me in tears. And then when you get here to what Al has to say, oh, not good. Okay. Shall we do some animals in the news here? Well, you know, there have been black bears running around all over the place in our area, and the latest this last week have been the mother and the two cubs over in Bremerton. Well, as of the last report I have, they have trapped the two cubs, but not yet mom, unless they got her since yesterday. And they apparently have released the cubs already somewhere. I kind of assumed that they would hold on to them until they got mom and release them all together. But there's not enough detail. I didn't find enough detail in the news to find out for sure. But the Department of Fish and Wildlife guys must figure that the cubs are old enough to take care of themselves, that they didn't have to be with mom. So anyway, we'll hope that they get mom soon. And, oh, then I was going to call to your attention the Cisco, the Gardner guys column in the Seattle Times on Thursday. And he talks about inviting hummingbirds through winter with mahonias. And I don't know what that plant is, but if you're interested in attracting hummingbirds, because the green Anna's hummingbirds remain here year-round, and so if you would like to plant something that will attract them during the winter, it's a winter blooming mahonia. And he talks about the different varieties and all that sort of stuff. So you can go online and search out Cisco's garden column from Thursday and get that information if you like. Ooh, now this is not good. And this is significant, made the front page of Friday's Seattle Times. algae bloom kills birds, mystifies researchers. This is from Hoboken Beach, Niobe, Clallam County. Here, let's see, they died in droves, common murres, scoters, loons, and more, in the largest ever recorded kill of seabirds on Washington's coast. Bedraggled dead seabirds tangled in sea wrack on this remote wild beach are just some of more than 8,000 birds killed since just Labor Day. Scientists estimate the death toll, which might eventually pass 10,000, is from a mysterious algae bloom still off the coast that has scientists and researchers worried and mystified. Quote, it is scary. We have no record of anything like this in the past 30 years, and no one knows why it's happening. That's from the director of Aquatic and Fisheries Sciences at the University of Washington. Quite a long article with some photographs. One photograph. So if you want the rest of the details, look it up online. Oh, we've got animals wreaking havoc a number of places. An errant water buffalo was blamed for causing two Egyptian passenger trains to collide on Saturday south of Cairo, killing 18 people and wounding 39. That was a water buffalo crashed two trains, but doesn't sound good. Oh, okay. Well, I think what we'll do is take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Stay on schedule here, and then we'll come back and finish up animals in the news and the best good news about animals, and then we'll get going on Vet Sunday. So how about you stay with us, and Animal World will continue straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now, it's always worth a trip to Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Street in Marysville. They've always got a ton of stuff on sale. They've been continuing all their annual blowout sale items, like their scratching and climbing furniture at cost and aquariums, hoods, and stands at cost. All of that's going on. As well as you can join the Preferred Customer Club, which keeps track of what you purchase, and then you get discounts and free food. So check them out, Jones & Company Pets. You'll find them on State Street in Marysville. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Call Karma Specialist and Metaphysical Mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings at her new time on Wednesdays at noon. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays at noon for your free on-air readings. Hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio on Thursdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150. And check Robin's new Reiki Healing Energy Portal at robinalexis.com.
Candidate Pet Foods is committed to providing you and your pets the highest quality, all-natural, human-grade holistic products using the finest natural ingredients available, including vitamins and chelated minerals. Candidae products are made the Candidae way with superior quality in every bag and can. 100% satisfaction guaranteed and 100% nutritionally guaranteed. Check out the new All Life Stages grain-free formula, 80% meat protein, 20% vegetables and fruit, and zero grains. Discover why dogs love Candidae. Go to Candidae.com for more information.
Tell your friends, the place to be is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and we're still just getting rolling on this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. If you're a little confused like we are, it was fallback time last night, so it is really only 9:19:58:59:20:10:20 is what my clock says, but it's really 9:20. Okay, let's get back to animals in the news. This is disturbing. Never enough details to know. I'd love to know what this is all about. And if it really, it says, two coyotes attacked a promising young musician as she was hiking alone in Breton Highlands National Park in Nova Scotia on Tuesday in eastern Canada. And authorities said she died Wednesday of her injuries. The victim was identified as Taylor Mitchell, 19, a singer-songwriter from Toronto, who was touring her new album on the East Coast. So I'm wondering if these truly were coyotes, because coyotes, I've never even heard of a coyote attack on humans that was legitimate. And that to have her, anyway, I'd like to know more about what happened there. And speaking of these strange, now here's a, unfortunately, I think there was something similar to this recently. The BBC says that a British guide working on a children's television show in Tanzania was killed after being charged by an elephant. Anton Turner, 38, had been working as an expedition guide for the show Serious Explorers, which follows David Livingstone's famous 19th century trek across the African continent. Three children were with the filming party at the time of the attack. But the BBC said Friday that they were safe and had been airlifted from the area. But I don't know, Gary, if you've seen a lot of these wildlife shows that go to Africa. You know, often they're out there, the hosts of the shows and the camera people, they're out there and you see the elephants come up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but it's crossed my mind a few times. It's like, gee, if those elephants really got ticked off and charged.
Yeah.
Those people would be in trouble. Yeah. They're way too close.
There's nothing you
now,
can do.
Now, we, of course, don't know what really happened in this situation, if that's the case. But, all right, now here, there's another stupid human that involves an animal. Officials say a Florida panhandle handle fish and wildlife officer. Now, this is a fish and wildlife officer. Lost a 5-foot alligator after bringing it to his daughter's school for show and tell. Searchers scoured a wooded area surrounding the school Friday afternoon. The alligator jumped out of the man's vehicle Friday morning. The animal's mouth was taped. So, obviously there's good news and bad news there. I mean, the mouth is taped so the alligator can't eat any kids, but the poor alligator can't eat.
Yeah.
So I certainly hope they find him.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that fish and wildlife guy, did he not hear the rules about you're not supposed to have animals unattended in the back of your pickup truck or not tethered and all of that? But you lose a 5-foot alligator.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, but that guy's really embarrassed.
Yeah.
All right, now. This was an interesting story. I just bring to your attention from Monday's Seattle Times, their close-up is a full page just about on poking around on the farm. And it has to do with pig farmers and the swine flu. And I don't have any concern or fear related to the swine flu stuff and pigs and humans and all that sort of thing. But that's what kind of stimulated the article, but what I found most interesting was a lot of details about the practice now of factory farming and the way these pigs are housed. Now, in the photograph, the pigs do look fat and healthy, but it's interesting to hear what they go through to keep these pigs free of illness. And then there are details in here and how they're housed. And I get real mixed feelings about this because they have like 6 feet of space. They don't get out. They don't feel grass. They don't get on the earth. They don't get air and sunshine and all of, I mean, they get air to breathe, but you know, they're just inside in a 6-foot area and they only live about 6 months. Now, I think we really need to really revisit how we feed ourselves and how we care for the animals that we eat and all of that sort of thing. But anyway, so you might want to pull up that article because there are a lot of interesting details that you learn about this industry of pig farming that doesn't have anything to do with swine flu. All right, let go of that. And, well, that wraps up the news portion. of animals in the news and brings us with the good part because it's time for the best good news about animals. And hey, we already have the sunshine gear.
I know.
We got it ahead of time to make up for last week because we never did get any last week.
No, we never did.
No, we're making up for last week. Uh-huh. Yeah, and I didn't even give you a hard time about football this week.
Well.
See, I could really get after you because you guys got creamed.
Yeah. Well, that's not a shock.
I don't have to defend the Huskies, though, because
they
didn't play.
You guys didn't lose. That's something.
We didn't lose, but we didn't play either. Okay, now that has nothing to do with good news about animals. Well, it does, too. The Huskies didn't lose. Okay. All right, first up in the good news department, just a really cute photograph. This is from the Northwest Thursday section of the Seattle Times. A swim and a snack. It's after repeated dives in the waters just outside the Ballard Locks recently, this cormorant came up with a saltwater snack, a prickleback fish, which it tossed into the air and then down the hatch. And the photographer got a great picture of the bird with its mouth open and just getting ready to catch. He had tossed it up and just getting ready to catch. Isn't that a great photo?
Yeah, that is a great picture.
Yeah, so if you want to see a great picture, a picture of a cormorant up close.
Huh.
And this is from the Northwest Saturday section yesterday of Times. Two great photographs and is about roaring to move into new habitat. Above Taj, a 2-year-old golden Bengal tiger relaxes in the new $2.5 million habitat that he and another Bengal tiger moved into at the Cougar Mountain Zoo on Friday. At nearly 400 pounds, Taj is just one of 102 golden Bengals in captivity in the world. The 8-acre zoo is privately funded and features, among other animals, a cougar, macaws, emus, cranes, and wallabies. It's open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday, and that's in Issaquah, and it's $8 to $10.50 for admission. And then Almost is a picture of him. He's a 2-year-old white Bengal tiger with blue eyes. They, of course, are very rare. And you may remember us reporting on these two tigers when they were babies and came to Tiger Mountain Zoo. So anyway, look at those great photos, Karen. Okay. All right, then I've got... this is a good news story, but it brings up some winter caution that you need to be aware of. Last week, the country was mesmerized by the story of a tan and white tabby cat from the Bronx, New York, who survived an unusual ordeal. A 2-mile drive through his northern New York City borough while stuck inside the engine of an SUV. The stray was so severely wedged inside that the battery and other engine parts had to be removed in order to free him. Though the story has a happy ending, because two detectives from New York Police Department's Emergency Service Unit pulled the cat out, who is now recovering nicely. But this points out, you know, the problems, because, you know, if you park your car outside, you shut it off, stray cats or even just domestic cats that are outside will crawl up into the engine because it's warm. So just a reminder to all of you, if you park your car outside and when you go to start it, bang on the hood. Bang, bang, bang. Get any letting animals get out of there. Okay, now, the winner of the best good news about animals really is kind of indirectly related. But it's such a cute email here, I have to read you the story. You remember, it's actually a follow-up item. We, here at KKNW, 1150 AM, we do our annual listener survey every fall. And once again, Animal World Listener won the contest this year. And the winning prize was, you know, the overnight trip on the Victoria Clipper up to Victoria, an overnight stay. Well, I have the email back because... it happened to be my friends and associates of ours, our web designer, Rhonda Dixon, Indigo Dog, who designs my website. They just got back yesterday. And here is the email. Rhonda has, if you haven't checked out my website, you should, because she's the best web designer on the planet, and she's absolutely fabulous and a great sense of humor. This is her story. So this is the story of the trip. Now, the email is entitled, How to Travel to Canada, Enjoy Five-Star Accommodations, Be a Part of History, All on $0 a day, except for a $40 tow truck charge.
Uh-oh.
Okay? So, by Rhonda Dixon. Here we go. For those of you who want the excitement of foreign travel, but hate the thought of having to adapt to strange customs, listen to the babble of foreign tongues, or eat alien foods, a visit to our neighbors to the north might be just the ticket. You'll find Canada's citizens to be stoic and patient at most all of the improprieties of their U.S. cousins. Canadian food to be very similar to what we eat down here in real America, and best of all, a form of English to be spoken throughout most of Canada. So why wait? The current off-season, with fewer over-coddled babies and underclad baby boomers competing for travel space and services, is really the best time to go. So now that you've decided to take a Canadian vacation, you might well ask, Hey Rhonda, how can I travel to Canada, enjoy five-star accommodations, and be a part of history, all on $0 a day, except for a $40 tow truck charge? This is a question I am often asked. So, good news. Here are 17 easy-to-follow instructions, including video, for doing just that. Number one, have or obtain a friend who has a weekly radio program. $0. Two, in the guise of supporting friend from step one, fill out radio station's yearly listener survey. $0. Number three, nag partner to fill out same survey. $0. Four, when partner wins listener survey prize, a trip for two to Canada, bow and scrape as necessary to be the one chosen to accompany partner on trip. Note, be prepared to make threats or deliver ultimatums if necessary. $0. Five, pick completely random date for trip. $0. Six, arrive in Victoria aboard Victoria Clipper and check in at Fairmont Empress Hotel. Discover the town abuzz with Olympic fever, as the Olympic torch will arrive direct from Greece the next day. Further, discover that the torch run across Canada will commence the next morning after a kickoff ceremony featuring many dignitaries, including Canada's Prime Minister and Provincial Governor. $0. Number seven, remember to keep thinking positive when Empress Hotel check-in desk clerk apologizes, telling you your room was moved because of the crush of dignitaries staying at hotel. Marvel at how positive thinking pays off when you arrive at room to discover room's front row view of Victoria Inner Harbor, Parliament Building, and torch relay route, $0.
Nice.
Eight, wash off travel dust, then proceed to Empress Tea Room for world-famous afternoon high tea. Enjoy the royal treatment as you joke with server and irritate straight-laced Britons at nearby tables. Eat far too much and learn to enjoy milk in your tea. Partner pays $0. Number nine, wander around a city lousy with Olympic participants, window shop, snack at tapas bar, partner pays. Encourage partner to buy a bottle of wine to take back to room, $0. Number 10, begin day 2. Sit at window and enjoy the morning coffee partner has made, watching Olympic festivities in street below, $0. Number 11, pack in a frenzy as hotel-wide alarm sounds and loudspeaker voice announces investigation of, quote, an incident. Sigh with relief when all clear is issued, $0. Number 12, when post-alarm period of fear and throwing up is completed, wander down the street. Take a place along torch runner's route and listen to dignitary speeches on stage nearby. Be sure to blend in by clapping and cheering at appropriate times of Canadian pride. $0. 13, scoff with rest of onlookers as three young socialists walk by chanting buzz-killing statements to crowd. Join rest of onlookers in ignoring dissidents. $0. 14, take pics of Olympic runners jogging past you with torch on first leg of torch's 106-day, 27,000-mile journey. As runners passed, allow time for camera to cool to touch. $0. 15, window shop, visit bug zoo, hold giant millipede, hissing cockroach, tarantula, giant walking stick. Find a geocache, lunch at French restaurant, partner pays $0. 16, wander back to Inner Harbor, hold Olympic torch. Queue up for a return trip on Victoria Clipper. After leaving harbor, play Meteor Brick Breaker on iPod Touch for 2.5 hours. $0. 17. Arrive back in Seattle, walk several blocks to nearby deserted $10-a-day garage where car is parked. Discover that car won't start. Flag down security guard who calls tow truck for jump start. $40. As you can see, it can be as easy as this to take a marvelous trip for only the cost of a jump start. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? Now watch the video. Unfortunately, I can't give you the link to the video, which was, you know, run does all the pictures that they took that describe everything to music. It was great. Thank you, Rhonda, for that. And now, everybody, remember that when we tell you to fill out that listener survey, you better do it, because you, too, could have a fabulous trip like that on
that
us.
That sounds great.
Yep. All right, so we are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then we'll come back, get Dr. Al Plechner on the line, and start Vet Sunday. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Darla Ruers wanted to be a veterinarian since the age of five. Always an empath, natural healer, and visionary artist, Darla wanted to give a voice to the animals and be their advocate on the most gentle, heart-centered, true-feeling way. Her interest in shamanism, plant medicines, and diverse healing forms led her to open the Ancient Arts Healing Arts Center for Pets and People located in Fremont. There is a very tangible link between the symptoms we see in animals and the people they live with, and Dr. Ruers treats the animals, helping their caretakers bring awareness to their part in the wellness. Darla teaches Qigong and art meditation to the humans to help them help their pets. A licensed veterinarian in Washington, Dr. Ruers has been certified in veterinary acupuncture and has practiced alternative therapies on domestic and exotic species since 2002. She has been doing house calls and office visits in the greater Puget Sound area since 2005. For more information, go to ancientartsvet.com or call 206-547-1025. That's 206-547-1025.
Join Sports Tangle every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. right here on 1150 a.m. Brian Abker, Brian Bacon, Matt Zarter, and Gary Hill bring unique, entertaining, and thoughtful perspectives on Northwest sports and beyond. Visit sportstangle.com for more information. That's Sports Tangle, every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m.
Robin Alexis has channeled a new energy portal called the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. You can check out the information about this new energy portal on our website, robinalexis.com. Click on the large button on the right side of the website that says, "Are you guided by your higher self?" Click here to visit the Sacred Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Your experience here will mend your soul's heart and recalibrate your senses to the divine. In addition to receiving access to the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal, your subscription will include a copy of the ebook, Robin Song. Access to the special priority forum for subscribers only, to read and to post into, and access to the special calendar for subscribers only to learn about special meditation events that will only be for those who have subscribed. For more in-depth information, check out the Mary Magdalene Reiki Energy Portal on Robin's website, robinalexis.com. It's Robin's hope that future generations will continue to bathe in the light of this sacred Reiki Healing Energy Portal.
Spread the word. You don't have to settle for the usual talk radio. Now there's Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and we are in the middle of the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Just want to mention before we begin Vet Sunday here, hearing Robin Alexis's little ad there that They are, Robin and Bob, offering a free membership to that Mary Magdalene Healing Portal on the website, a free month subscription, and that's happening now. And I just thought I'd remind you, if you don't know, it is a phenomenal healing portal, and I keep it on every day at my home. And the meditation is tonight. The Sunday evening meditation is for Divine Right Partner meditation is at 7:30 this evening, and you can participate for free if you go to robinalexis.com. And then there'll be another full moon well cell meditation tomorrow evening. Same deal. So check it out if you haven't, because it's free. And it's really, really good. All right. It is time, even though my clock's an hour off. Well, we go through this twice a year, don't we, Gareth? It's just confusing for the show. It is time to welcome back our friend, Dr. Al Plechner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program, and the compendium of articles for on the same subject for humans. Good morning, Dr. Al.
Good morning, Martha. How are you?
I'm good. Have you straightened out your clocks?
I can't believe my... was going to replace it. I had a long talk with it.
And, with your clock, yeah.
Excited to, get on schedule, so we're fine.
Good, good. Well, our clocks in the studio don't get changed until tomorrow, so we're a little weird here because our clocks are an hour off.
Oh, I changed it. I can't even believe this occurred. And like I told Sandy, possibly I was tuned up or something. I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, at least you weren't an hour late. You were an hour early, so that's good.
Exactly. Going, gee, I wish Martha would get done with her news broadcast and stuff.
Call me.
I know.
Oh, it's too funny. All right, so how did you have a good Halloween down there in California?
Yeah, I had a good Halloween. I was home. I worked Saturday, then I got on home, and I've been working, as you know, on getting this Healthy Pet Network thing out.
Yeah, that's the new website. I did have a chance to briefly check it out yesterday. And folks, if you want to check it out, Dr. Al's website is still available to you. That's www.drplechner, Dr. Plechner, Plechner.com. But this is another website, www.healthypetnetwork.org. Is that correct?
Right. And the blogs on it that I'll be doing and the web we'll be doing it is on .net.
So healthypetnetwork.org and healthypetnetwork.net.
Yeah, and the neat part about it is they're just two neat families that the Goldmans and Spangenbergs that are all of a sudden, they've been into animals. Michael and his wife have 19 dogs and 14 cats.
19 dogs and 14 cats?
And they're taking
Holy
care
mackerel.
Of them. Yeah, rescues and doing
wow.
all that stuff. And say, so this is really something that's so important to them, and the families have decided, you know what, this is a great way to leave more than we take. So they've taken on my work, and I've worked with Michael and his wife with dogs, with Sarge and other things, but they've taken on my work, and what they want to do is the three people involved or three families involved want to bring to the world a community network where everybody, including people like yourself that are experts in your field, can offer to the public webinars, all kinds of things, and the whole thing is free. They want to
That's the key component. It's all free.
It's free, and what we'd like to do is, and we'd like suggestions. We'd like people to get involved. I'm going to do a number of new products that have never been done before that the dogs, cats, horses, birds, they all really, really need. The nutraceutical business is boom for people, and there's so many supplements that are of value, and so I'm going to try to concentrate some and do them, but we'd like people to check in with the Healthy Pet Network and say, hey, this is something we're looking for, or can we make suggestions? So we're trying to organize the animal world, if you will, so that they call whole health can be given to our animals and make a difference. Particularly, as you know, in an altered environment like we have, so it's exciting. I'm excited about it.
Well, yeah, and there's talk, and at least what I read on the website yesterday, and the healthypetnetwork.org, it was indicated that you may be going to make a hypoallergenic food.
Yeah, I may be doing a new food. That does involve estrogen, so on and so forth. Because, as you know, in our altered environment with people and animals, we're seeing a tremendous amount of excess estrogen coming into our bodies, our animals' bodies, from plastic, from plants, from different types of foods and things. And
which is the estrogen being a major component in the endocrine immune imbalance or the Plechner syndrome
right,
that you've discovered.
It kicks everyone into the Plechner syndrome.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, it would be neat if you were going to develop some foods on those concepts.
Right. So we're looking at doing some foods or some additives to inhibit estrogen. And I've got it pretty well worked out. So we're just kind of sitting tight and trying to get this thing going. Plus, you know, with liver problems, with kidney problems, with pancreas, so on and so forth. There are numbers of different things that seem to work well, but the problem is that often the people have to do, you know, 10 things to give to their cats or dogs. So I'm going to develop something that will be just one simple thing that they can use. And we're also going to be looking at some of the nutraceuticals and things as transdermals, where if the it's hard to pill the animals just don't want to eat the stuff, then right. You can literally rub it on their ears or another part of their body daily, and they'll absorb it.
That would be great. Yeah, so that would be a lot easier for some people than having to give a pill.
Well, yeah, and I've worked with a Dr. Michael Borkin, where we were going to set this thing up worldwide, and we're looking at doing the same thing, and with possible even some medications, which would be great.
All right. Well, let's take a little time out from our discussion. We need to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in this hour. And then when we continue, I want to talk a little bit about the wolf situation. I told everybody in the news this morning there is an article about wolves in the paper this week, and I have to tell you, I was two paragraphs in, and I was in tears. And then I had a discussion with Dr. Al yesterday and felt even worse. So I think it warrants us needing to address it again on the air. So,
and I'd love to hear what you read too, Mark.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So we're going to get into wolves for the rest of this hour before we get back to the Plechter syndrome. So I hope you'll stay tuned because this is not an easy situation to address. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend, and Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now, it's always worth a trip to Jones & Company because they've always got fabulous sales going on. And you're definitely going to want to join the Preferred Customer Club because it keeps track of what you purchase, and then you get discounts and free food. So check them out, Jones & Company Pets. You'll find them on State Street in Marysville. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817 at Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Call the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Vasily is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
Write it down, shout it loud. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Now, wasn't that fun?
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are winding down the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. All right, we are just beginning Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Plechter, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic. Good morning again, Dr. Al.
Good morning, Martha.
All right. Now, we in the past have discussed the wolf situation in the country because prior to you going back into practice and moving back down to Southern California, you had been retired for several years in Idaho, correct?
Correct.
And you were you had lots of acreage and were doing a lot of refurbing, if you will, a reviving of the environment and the habitat for wildlife. And because of your years in animal wildlife refuging and that sort of thing, you were doing a lot of that in Idaho. Is that
right,
kind of
trying
correct?
To enhance the environment and, you know, the habitat for the animals.
Right, and so for our regular listeners know, and over the last 6 years or so that Dr. Al's been doing the show, you know, the first few years of that, when you were up in Idaho, I mean, our early discussions when we started a show would all be about what was going on on your property in Idaho, and you would talk to us about all the incredible wildlife, the wild turkeys and, boy, you know, the deer and the moose and the elk and other words, all kinds of stuff going, you know, and all of that. Now, so that's just for any of you that weren't here to hear all of those stories. That's the history of all of this. Now, we'll come back to that because that's the other side of the story. Now, I told you what I wanted to start with here. This is an article out of Friday's Seattle Times. If you want to pull it up, it's called Hunter's Success Keeps Wolf Controversy Alive. And it says state-backed hunts in Idaho and Montana worry conservationists, but rural residents fear a fierce predator that has expanded its range. Now, and this is a story about, starts off as, of one particular wolf. And I have to say, you know, I sat down, I was reading the paper, I just started this article, and I didn't get more than, oh, I'm going to read you the first four paragraphs, see if it has the same effect on you that it did on me. I was so overwhelmed with grief with this particular story. That, well, I've got to share it with you, and then, of course, then we got to hear the other side of the story, and I don't have any answers here, but I think we all need to be aware and know what's really going on. So here we go. The article starts, this is out of Gardner, Montana. Wolf 527 was a survivor. She lived through a rival pack's crippling 12-day siege of her den. When another pair of wolves laid down stakes in her territory, she killed the mother and picked off the pups while the invader's mate howled nearby in frustration and fury. She was not a charmer. But successful wolves are not known for geniality. As alpha female of the Cottonwood Creek pack, she also was equipped with a radio collar so wildlife biologists could track her movements, making her one of Yellowstone National Park's best-known wolves. She then ventured outside the park. Wolf 527 was killed October 3rd by a hunter on the Buffalo Plateau north of Yellowstone, less than 3 weeks into Montana's backcountry elk season. Wolves often stalk elk outside the park and are attracted by entrails left that hunters leave behind. But elk season this year coincided with the opening of the state's first wolf hunt in modern times. Quote, she was a genius wolf in her tactics, said Lori Lyman, a former San Diego County teacher who has spent 5 years tracking the recovery of the endangered gray wolf that were introduced into Yellowstone in 95. Quote, her strategies were just unbelievable. She knew how to survive anything, but she didn't know how to survive a man with a gun. Now, if you want to pull up the rest of this article, it goes on. There's a lot more detail. There's an interview, actually, with the hunter who killed this wolf. And, of course, there's more detail that this Wolf 527 was part of the most studied and most well-known pack of wolves in Yellowstone Park. And I think, I don't, you know, I like I said, I was just overwhelmed with a feeling of grief and sadness and loss for the death of this wolf. That was so popular, and that, you know, there has to be a better way that it, you know, at least the most popular studied wolves that are really a part of Yellowstone. All right, so that was, that was the beginning of my day. Then I had to talk to Dr. Al, because we had to have our little pre-show talk, you know, which we do every month before the show. Well, Dr. Al, you told me that there's some really sad news going on around your property in Idaho that's related, but it's the other side of the coin. So share with everybody what you shared with me yesterday.
Well, our enhancement of the environment in our small lakes, our acreage in the middle of a billion acres of timber that the Idaho State people own, agencies own, almost all the wildlife is gone now. And many of the dogs that have been out there have been chopped in half and left. And so we have a little bit of an empty wilderness now. And the thing is, you know, I feel very badly for, you know, Wolf 527. But, you know, at this point in time, like you and I talked about, before they reintroduce these wolves, and I'm not so sure that the gray wolves, I think it's a different species.
Well, so you're not. So the bottom line is, in Idaho, and this wonderful wildlife habitat that you've been creating, and all the stories you told us for so many years about the wild turkey and the moose and the elk and the deer and everything, all those animals that were regular visitors to your property, you're saying they're all gone?
They're gone. They're not there anymore.
And you say they're gone because they've been killed by wolves?
And moved out, like
moved
in
out.
Yellowstone. Yeah, if you see some of the documentaries in Yellowstone. See, one of the problems here is you have the advocates for the wolves, and you have the other conservationists that are going, you know, what about our moose, elk? What about the calves? What about the killing of them, the fawns? What about all the things these wolves are going through now? With, I think, an overpopulation. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And, again, man has really done what man does, which is really, really, really sad. Every time we move into the environment with an animal or a transplant like this, we don't look to the future. We don't look what's going to happen if they procreate and there becomes too many of them. Like you and I talked about a long time ago, I think if these people that introduced the wolves were really conservationists and very bright, they would have neutered and altered the 50 species, the 50 however many pairs that they put out, to see what kind of an impact it would have on an already altered environment. We have these micro environments with these animals where we have to respect them, where they live. The greatest wilderness area, I think, left in the United States is the Selway Bitterroot. And that's deep void. We talked about that. That's gone. All the elk are gone, so on and so forth. The environmentalists don't want anybody in there to manage the trees. And so the bark beetles, the stump rot, everything's killing off the trees. And a lot of the ragweed, a lot of the nettles and things and different types of noxious weeds are growing, but no one's allowed to get in there and manage it. So, you know, somewhere between environmentalism, protecting everything, and conservation, making sure that everything can survive, lies the truth. Period.
Yeah, and I think, I guess the only point that I want to make today, or really can make, because I certainly don't have answers. I mean, Dr. Al, you had somewhat of an answer saying, well, hindsight being 2020, before we reintroduced wolves into an altered environment, maybe they should have been spayed and neutered so we could have seen, you know, the effects before. Because, you know, to balance an ecosystem, to be balanced, there needs to be that chain. And if the wolf is the top predator and they have nobody above them, then it gets out of control. And of course, the only thing above the wolf really is the human. So then you got to wonder, but, and we've always said, you know, that wolves are such high integrity and that wolves don't kill for sport. They only killed what they need. But there seems to be huge evidence now, and Al, you're part of that. I trust you because you've seen this with your own eyes.
Absolutely.
In Idaho, that is no longer the case. And I don't know why it is. Maybe there's so many of them, and they're, because they have no one predating on them, that they're so comfortable that they get bored and need something to do, and killing is good practice. But, I mean, this is just out of this article that I told you about, folks. Listen to this. This is kind of appalling. In Dillon, 180 miles northwest of Yellowstone, a rancher in late August found the carcasses of 122 purebred adult sheep in his pasture. It was the